trumpets to everyone. We had quite the weather for some of us anyway, probably everyone. And so it's good to have you here and God's blessing to get you safely to his assembly. Real quickly, let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, and we'll read in verse 21. Just to set the stage. Matthew 24, verse 21. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. Verse 22, unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. If you've been in the church any amount of time, you are well aware that today represents a time of great tribulation upon mankind, which includes the wrath of God, not just the influence of the evil one. A person of this world, if reading all of the prophecies of the last days, and this is of Satan's reign, should be very, very afraid and grieved. They may not be, but they should be. For after reading of those first six trumpets, they would also read how mankind responds to all of that. And we can find that in Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9, and we'll read in verse 20. But the rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear, nor walk. Verse 21, and they did not repent of their murders, or their sorceries, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Pretty much, the Ten Commandments have been covered here. So with all of that tragedy, with all of that trouble, there is still no repentance. But then they might especially be pained by the declaration found relating to the seventh trumpet. And that's the two chapters forward, Revelation 11. And we'll start in verse 15. Revelation 11, verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Mankind has been in rebellion against God, even if they don't know God. And here they are, now being conquered. And it's being clearly stated, Jesus will reign. Dropping down to verse 18, we continue, the nations were angry, and your wrath has come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged. But what does all of this mean to the person who believes God and obeys God? What does it mean to the person who gives up their own way for God's way? You know, if you were following along with me in your Bible, you realize I stopped midway through verse 18. Because we get an indication of this as we finish that particular verse. I'll start at the beginning of it again. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your saints, the prophets and the saints, your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. So with the seventh trumpet comes not only the wrath of God on all rebellious nations, but a reward for the saints. The Feast of Trumpets is full of dire warnings and pronouncements. I think, hopefully, I've quickly made that clear. But those judgments will be made on a world that, unfortunately, at this time, does not even know God. Even the seventh trump is a pronounced judgment on the sins of this world. Meanwhile, for us, the seventh trump is a call to birth, to a whole new life full of power and glory. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll start in verse 41. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. So this is not describing a large-scale resurrection. We know about one of those. But this is another resurrection to spiritual life defined by glory and power. We can drop down to verse 51 to continue. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. There's that trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And of course, this is reiterated in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 16. For the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Here's a nice clarification. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Not a few hours later, not next month, not a year or three later, but right up with them. In the clouds to meet the Lord of the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. I hope we're comforted by those words. I know I am. We have been made free, and this freedom allows us to long for the return of Jesus Christ rather than to fear it. We don't need to fear that return. So there is no such thing as for us just giving it a go, or, you know, giving it a good go. Not even giving it a great go. We have to give it all we've got. We should want to. Which doesn't define us becoming perfect as it sometimes gets used in the scripture, which really means becoming mature. God will make us perfect. We are overcomers. Yes, we must give it all we've got to not only overcome that which is natural human proclivity to transgress, to mess up. Because God's law is pure and true and right. But also to take the qualities of godliness apart from sin to produce good fruit, godly fruit. Have we proven to God we are in, all in, on this journey? Not distracted by the pulls of this flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, as we read in 1 John 2, verse 6. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, currently, presently, we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself. Gives it all they've got, just as Christ is pure, he is pure. You know, recall, I began with Matthew chapter 24, verse 22. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Why would God intervene before mankind ended all life? Doesn't he have the power to resurrect everybody? How many people die does not limit God's ability to resurrect. So, for the sake of his begotten children, the millennial reign of Christ over mankind is still necessary. Because although we know the promise of the resurrection, of the first resurrection of the saints and the prophets, we're also aware that there's not another one until much later. Right? So, who would these people reign with Christ over if there were nobody left? For the elect's sake, that's what he is preparing us for, to be serving with him in training and leading mankind entering into the millennium. God is preparing you and me for that millennial age. He has for us a job to do that required everything you and I had to give, whether it's stuff we've been through in the past, whether we're going through it right now, or it's still to come. It's all for that. I will close the message today with words from the Apostle Peter, and we'll look at 1 Peter chapter 2, reading in verse 1. 1 Peter 2, 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know, thank our God that he has forgiven us. Because we're just like the world, except that we got called. God intervened in our lives and gave us understanding so that we could then repent and then change. Let's go down to verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, are, again, currently, presently, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, and that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. There's that light and that glory again. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. We are a family, brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ to our Father in heaven, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So the last trumpet, I've titled this, The Last Trumpet and You. The Last Trumpet and You. The last trumpet is a sound that announces, I'd like to include me, but it's not in the title. That announces the glorifying birth of God's begotten children. Those who overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Those who gave it their all. Those rewarded to reign with Christ in God's holy kingdom, sharing the light of God's glory and power.